What about imaging? Well, you have CAT scans and MRIs available. It turns out that MRI is probably more useful in making a diagnosis, and CAT scanning is more useful in surgical planning. We typically are seeing apical crowding, streaking of the orbital fat. We're seeing involvement of lots of muscles, dilation of the superior ophthalmic vein, lacrimal gland enlargement and prolapse. All these things can be seen on MRI. Turns out that another technique called a strong T2 weighted images with fat suppression can be helpful because it can show thickening of the muscles together with edema. There's a little bit of lucency in the region here where there's edema adjacent to the muscles. And this is a helpful thing because this is actually one of the few things we've got that's pathognomonic for Graves' disease. And so you can have your radiologist order this particular study and get direct information that will help you make the diagnosis. That said, most of the time it's a clinical diagnosis anyway. And then finally, you can also see on spin echo sequences with the T1, you can see some lipomatous and fibrous changes because of long-standing Graves. So what about the thyroid? This is just a complicated problem. The thyroid disease, as I said earlier, you've got 50% of people who have Graves' disease will develop eye disease, or you could say that 90% of people will be hyperthyroid if they have the eye disease. And even most of the remaining 10% will have something wrong with their thyroid. Hyperthyroidism you're all familiar with, intolerance to heat, anxiety, weight loss, goiter perhaps. TFTs are a little bit tricky. Turns out that there's one that's quite helpful for us. The endocrinologists, of course, are worried about TSH, T4, T3 in terms of dealing with thyroid replacement. For us, the thing that's probably the most helpful is the TSH receptor antibody, and the study is known as a TSI, or thyroid-stimulating immunoglobulin. And essentially, it's an antibody that can be measured in most people with Graves' disease. And it turns out that persistent higher titers correlate with more significant disease. There's a new assay that's been recently described. I doubt it's widely available for most of us, called the TSIMC4. But it turns out that even if you can just get a TSI, it's helpful. And if you follow titers, it gives you some idea in terms of prognosis. Thyroid peroxidase, common in both Graves and Hashimoto's, so it doesn't help us that much. There's another one called thyroid-binding inhibitory immunoglobulin. It probably is going to end up being helpful, but so far it's not widely available. Here's a 44-year-old female attorney who's married to another attorney who presents for evaluation of her stable thyroid disease and wants her puffy eyelids to go away. So you're thinking to yourself, what would you do about this? I would say, how stupid can you be? Would you touch this person? Hell no. Anyway, thyroid disease over time, ablation of all the functioning thyroid tissue is helpful in progressive orbitopathy, but sudden changes can trigger worsening of the eye disease. And so sometimes people are covered with oral steroids if they do have thyroid ablation procedures. Turns out that untreated hypothyroidism has a higher incidence of eye disease, so leaving them hypothyroid is bad too. It's bad if it's high, it's bad if it's low. Treatment for hyperthyroidism typically will involve things like PTU and tapazole to suppress thyroid production, and then they'll take thyroid hormone replacement. So they'll keep down their naturally occurring thyroid and then take it synthetically. You have about a 63% remission. Recent studies out of Europe have shown a fairly high remission rate if you keep them 2 years on a thionamide, and their eye disease doesn't get worse, which seems pretty good. Other options would be radioactive iodine and thyroidectomy. You might say, well, radioactive iodine's pretty easy. Why not just go with that? Thyroidectomy is another alternative, a little more work.